revolution. This is one of the biggest problems with it, by the way. And this is why it was such a big deal to America, the United States, and Our Lady of Fatima. They weren't content with just wrecking one country. They wanted this to go global. And to this day, that's the dream. That's the vision. They're not happy until everybody is under communist rule. In fact, I remember talking to a group of communists at a college about 20 years ago. And they said, yeah, the problem is the capitalists always beat us out wherever we go. You know, it's just, it's more efficient. It produces more prosperity. People like it more. And I said, well, then what are you still clinging to this for? They said, well, that's our goal. It's our vision. We want the whole world to be communist. Like, give it up, man. Come on. Let people be free to choose on this. March 1919, the start of the Soviet Comintern, Lenin said, the existence of the Soviet Republic side by side with the other states after a period is unthinkable. In the end, either one or the other will conquer. The idea of coexistence between the Soviet Republic and the bourgeois states is unthinkable, unacceptable. And so they launched this, something called the Soviet Comintern, which stood for Communist International. And the Comintern, as Trotsky said, this would be the general staff of the world revolution. So this is where the tentacles, the errors, the evils that Our Lady spoke of really start to spread. They create this Comintern in March 1919 in Moscow. This would be the global headquarters of the world revolution. Every country would have one or two representatives or liaisons to the Comintern. And then the Comintern would have one or two people back in each country. Every country was allowed to have just one communist party. And that party would report to Moscow. So Moscow, the Comintern, was like the director of this global communist symphony. It was all going to be run from there. Any countries that had two communist parties, these guys immediately cracked down on them. Said, no, get your stuff together. You are one. You are one party that reports to us. So the United States, we got ours in September 1919. Which city, anyone know? Chicago. Started in Chicago. I've seen the Communist Party archives on Comintern archives and Communist Party USA at the Library of Congress. The very first document is September 1st, 1919, 1219 Blue Island Avenue in Chicago. Charles Ruthenberg, the founder of the party, who today is buried in the wall of the Kremlin. That's where his body is. And he's reporting to Moscow. We've done it. We've done it. We've created the Communist Party. We're ready to go. We're all set. We're all ready to go. Eventually, it moved to New York. At one point in the 1950s, the Communist Party in the USA, half of all members lived in New York City, in the five boroughs. So New York has long been kind of the headquarters of American communism. But it started in Chicago. The Communist International has declared war on the entire bourgeois world. That's how Grigory Zinoviev, the original head of the Comintern, described it. They immediately started launching. Revolutions in Poland, Hungary, Bavaria. In fact, I could talk for hours about this. But 1920, they attack Poland, which was the year that a guy by the name of Karol Wojtyla was born, and his father fought in that war. And the Poles, in the miracle of the Vistula, which they credit to the intercession of the Blessed Mother, defeated the Bolsheviks, keeping communism out of Europe at that point about 30 years earlier than it came in. And Lenin blew his stack, popped a cork, and just lost his mind. Hated Poland over this. I'm going to get those Poles. I'm going to get those Poles. So in the United States, they established Communist Party USA, which still exists, www.cpusa.org. Check their website anytime. They published People's World, which is the successor to the Daily Worker. Still exists. They swore a loyalty oath in 1935. I swear at all times to rally the masses to defend the Soviet Union, right? The only party that ensures the triumph of Soviet power in the United States. My friend Herb Romerstein said they were loyal Soviet patriots. They swore a loyalty oath, American Communist Party members, to the Soviet Union. That was their party. That was their flag. Langston Hughes, you have to read Langston Hughes now in all the public schools as a civil rights hero. They don't have you read this. Put one more S in the USA. When we take it over, it will be the USSA. They wanted an American Soviet Republic, as they called it. All right, so let's get to the meat here. How many people did this affect? How many people did it kill? The church predicted that this would be deadly. Our Lady predicted this was going to be, right, very, very damaging. This is the Black Book of Communism published by Harvard University Press in 1999. It estimated that communist governments between 1917 and the late 1990s killed over 100 million people worldwide, over 100 million people. The bloodiest, most destructive ideology in human history. There's nothing even close. And these numbers, by the way, who's that guy? Lenin today. That's Lenin today in his tomb. They have to wax him periodically. His body gets jaundiced, but he's enshrined there like a saint. Body preserved, Lenin shrine. So 100 million dead. The Black Book of Communism actually lists only 20 million dead for the Soviet Union. We think the number is probably way higher than that. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Yakovlev, others said it could be as high as 60 to 70 million. Stalin alone might have killed 60 to 70 million. Which country killed more than any other? China. And by the way, but these numbers don't even include abortion. And what these two countries did, this is unbelievable. So abortion was first legalized in the Soviet Union in 1920. 1920, right? That's 50 some years before Roe v. Wade in the United States. By 1936, there were so many abortions in Russia that Stalin made it illegal. He said, we're not going to have a country left. And Trotsky reprimanded him. He said, you can't be a good communist and ban abortion. We have to have abortion. So they brought it back under Khrushchev in 1955. By the 1970s in the Soviet Union, what was America's worst year for abortion? Total numbers. Anyone know how many abortions a year? About 1 million, 1.5, 1.8 million. In the Soviet Union in the 1970s, they were averaging 7 to 8 million abortions per year. They've had hundreds of millions of abortions in the Soviet Union. And only Lord knows how many China has had. So these numbers don't even include that. China, 65 million. You add all this up, it comes up to 100 million. But again, the numbers are probably way higher than that. Martin Malia, the Berkeley professor, called communism the most colossal case of political carnage in history. Those are some more numbers. Oh, sense of comparison. You have to take all the people dead in World War I and World War II for all countries, add them together, and then double them. And then you're getting close to the number of people killed by communism. All right, sorry if that's a little grim. All right, here's the good news. Your church was way out ahead on this issue, unlike any other. And as a Protestant, when I saw that, I was just blown away at what the church knew. And long before Our Lady of Fatima spoke out. All right, how far back? 1846. Was one of the first encyclicals, Qui Pluribus, by Pope Pius IX. All right, more quiz stuff. How long did Pope Pius IX serve as Pope? Anyone know? 1846 to 1878. Longest ever, other than our first Pope, Peter, right? Then he's followed 1878 to 1903 by, you guys know this Pope, Leo XIII, right? The Rerum Novarum Pope. But 1846, when was the Communist Manifesto published? Come on, you're taking notes. 1848. He's predicting the damage that's going to be caused by communism 2 years before the manifesto was even published. How did they know that? How did they know that? We believe that there's this magisterium through which the church, the Holy Spirit inspires it, speaks to the Pope. I remember seeing that as a Protestant. I thought, Catholics have got to be right on this. I mean, this is like the guy had a crystal ball. So Pius IX said in 1846, qui pluribus, communism stands absolutely contrary to the natural law itself. It would destroy the rights of property, right? Rights, even society itself. What's the next one? Pius the ninth, right? Called both socialism and communism, right? Perverted theories, pernicious fiction. Leo the 13th, 1878. And so in these cases too, these popes in their first years of very, very long pontificates. Among the first things that they're doing is condemning communism. It's not like they did this 10 years into their papacy, right away. And long before the Bolsheviks even came into power. In fact, think about this, Lenin and Stalin weren't even born yet. Qui pluribus, Pope Pius IX, 1846 encyclical. Communism, the design, right? Wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, inwardly, caused people to flee. Somebody read that, I can't read it. Even the practice of religion, they go after the practice of religion, practice the widespread, disgusting infection. They are filled with deceit and cunning. These pestilential doctrines, everywhere depraved, right? And the imprudent, causing great losses for religion. By the way, that's a big part of this. We were talking, right, Father Len, the imprudence. The people who simply aren't prudent. And I run into this all the time with certain Christians who are just easily kind of duped by these ideas. But Marx talked about sharing. So what? Everybody knows it's good to share, right? But look at all the other stuff he taught. You don't need to read it all right? You don't need to be brought into that. They even talked about how marriage would be infringed. The sacred rights of marriage and family. 1846, before Marx in 1848 talked about abolition of the family. There's Pope Leo the 13th, 1878 to 1903. Christmas Day, 1878, wrote the encyclical on socialism. And look at this phrase right here. This is really powerful. It talks about a wicked conspiracy between socialists, communists, nihilists, a wicked confederacy. So he is condemning, and I would point this out, Rerum Novarum is a favorite, Leo the 13th is a favorite among social justice Catholics, liberal Catholics, many of which talk about what they call Christian socialism. And he's saying, no, socialism is bad. Communism is bad. These are all part of a wicked confederacy. The church condemned all of that, all of that. America Magazine, in the summer of 2019, published a piece called The Catholic Case for Communism, the Jesuit magazine. I mean, The Catholic Case for Communism. There is no Catholic case for communism. I mean, what are they going to publish next? The Catholic case for atheism? Here's Pope Pius the 11th, Quadragesimo Anno, May 1931. All right, you might want to get your phones out. You might want to share this one with Sister Social Justice. All right. Look at what this says. Religious socialism, Christian socialism are contradictory terms. No one can be at the same time a good Catholic and a socialist. right? They are contradictory terms. There's no such thing as a socialist Catholic, a communist Catholic. If that person is claiming to be that, well, to quote Ronald Reagan, well, they're just very confused, right? Very, very confused. Divini Redemptoris, March 1937. This one's the best of all of them, by Pope Pius XI on atheistic communism. Called communism a godless perversity, a satanic scourge. This is the phrase, look at this one on the bottom. The evil that we must combat, right, is an evil of the spiritual order. The emanations of communist logic flow with monstrous emanations with satanic logic. So the church is saying that communism is literally satanic. Not just bad or wrong or imprudent or misguided. It's satanic. It's from the pit of hell. And there's publications like American Magazine publishing articles called The Catholic Case for Communism. Vatican II did several unpublished condemnations of communism. They were actually quite good. The really sad thing is they were never published. I'm going to skip through that. Here's St. Pope John the 23rd, who is a favorite among a lot of liberal Catholics. He too condemned communism. They all did. They all did. Right? Socialism.
He does not take any account of the, what is it? Objective order other than material will be. There you go. It places too severe a restraint on human liberty.
All right, this is my book, A Pope and a President. So defeating Soviet communism, moving forward here in the chronology of how this came about, here's the big game changer, October 16th, 1978. This man, Kirill Wojtyla, is chosen by the conclave, the College of Cardinals in the Sistine Chapel to serve as the next pope. Previous pope, John Paul I, served how long, anyone know? 33 days, that was it. So here, there had been nothing but Italian popes for 455 years. It's like twice the life of the United States. And now they get together in the heart of the Cold War, late 1970s, and they pluck a pope out of the heart of the communist empire, out of Poland. Right? The miracle of Vistula, 1920.